Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Now let's visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Copen is the chief medical officer over at their Lake Forest Hospital. Hi, Dr. Copen. Nice to talk to you again. How are you today?
I'm good, John. Staying warm like everybody else. It's actually warmed up here in Lake Forest. It was -8 when I got here early this morning, and I see it's actually -1 now, so a little warmer.
Not exactly t-shirt weather, but I'll take every degree I can get. And by this time tomorrow, it'll be 20 degrees. So we're this close to the finish line, Doc.
With 20 degrees, it sounds balmy, almost Florida-like. So very nice.
So I've been talking about that and telling everybody you would answer this. Pardon me if you didn't have a chance to maybe think through it, but cold weather won't make you catch a cold. But will cold weather lower your resistance so that you might get the flu or RSV or some illness? What are the debilitating effects of cold weather, or are there any other than just the unpleasantness of it, frostbite notwithstanding?
Yeah, so when we go outside, as long as we dress appropriately, and we're Chicagoans, John, so we know how to do it. We're fine outside. There's nothing about the cold air, even when it's frigid like this, that necessarily leads to somebody getting sick. And you're not going to catch pneumonia, in other words, just by being outside, walking to your car, or whatever it is you need to do. One of the reasons that we see so much flu and colds and things like that this time of year is we're inside, right? We're not outside a lot, so we're inside. We're oftentimes crowded together. People might have runny noses from being outside, which is actually a natural reaction to the cold air, to get a runny nose. And if somebody has virus there, that could lead to someone else getting infected. So it's really important to understand, yes, we can be outside as long as we're dressed appropriately, and we're not going to get sick from that. Unlike what grandma used to say, you're not going to get pneumonia just by being outside.
I hate to pass that along, but I'm just trying to learn here. And I think then here's how it relates to me. There were times where one of my sons wouldn't, and maybe still doesn't, want to wear a hat, glove, scarf. And my wife and I might think, oh, gee, you should wear a hat, glove, scarf because it'll be more comfortable. But for some reason, some people are just resistant to that. And my attitude is you can let them march off into the cold. It could be as damn cold as it. If they want to freeze, that's their decision. But an adult or a parent might want to intervene because you don't want them to get sick. They're not going to get sick. They're just going to be miserable. But they'd rather be miserable than accommodate the parent who wants them to put on a hat. And if they want to make that decision, they can. Fair enough?
Exactly. And wearing a hat could be decidedly uncool depending on someone's age.
I don't wear a hat a lot of times.
I love to wear a hat. I even have a hood that I wear on days like today.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you're not rocking the kind of hair I am, because I get it just the way I like in the morning. Requires some time, attention, and detail and product. And then I don't want to mess with it. So I tend not to wear a hat, Doctor.
You know, John, it's that radio thing. You got to have the hair look perfect to go on the radio, right?
Well, I am kind of a vain person, if that's what you mean. So, okay, I'm glad that we just established that. I'll heed your warning about not giving somebody else maybe a cold or flu from a runny nose. That's maybe the only red flag there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, on the other hand, you know, if you're not feeling well, and let's say you do have a cold and you go outside, being outside in the cold air, that cold air is going to make you feel more miserable. And we've all experienced that. We all know what that is about.
So are there more coughs and are we spreading more flu because we're more indoors right now then?
Yeah, that's the thing about this time of year in our climate. Being inside, sharing the same air, that's the whole thing about respiratory viruses. So, you know, influenza, the seasonal flu, our old friend COVID, RSV, and then all the many different common cold viruses. They love this time of year. This is their time of year. And, you know, we just see a ton of respiratory viruses this time of year. I'm sure all of our listeners, either themselves or members of their family or friends, have gotten stricken by these things. You know, the good news is most of us are going to do just fine. We're just going to be unhappy, though, while we have these infections.
Are there any new contagions on the horizon out there? We're paying attention to this because I hear about the bird flu and things like that. And we also may have a shift in our attitude about how we deal with these things. The United States is withdrawn from the World Health Organization, et cetera. What's on your mind in that arena, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, bird flu is definitely something to monitor. I don't think we have to worry that the bird flu is going to jump in a big way to human beings, but it's good to know that people who are expert in this area keeping a close eye on what's going on with bird flu. You know, we've had over 100 million birds, domesticated birds, that are on farms slaughtered to keep the bird flu from continuing to spread to other animals. So, you know, it is a significant issue. Thankfully, it hasn't been jumping in a big way to humans, and let's hope it stays that way. John, regarding the World Health Organization, I wish that President Trump would not have made that decision. I think I understand where it came from and, you know, why he made that decision. But we need coordination between nations when it comes to infectious diseases and other health-related matters. And it's difficult to do that without an international organization like the World Health Organization.
I see more and more commercials for more and more weight loss drugs these days. It just seems as mainstream as any other medication, and maybe more advertising about it than any other medication these days. Is there any news on that front, Doctor? Have we learned about any other ill side effects? They sure do seem to be popular.
No, they're out there. We're learning a lot. You're right. I mean, there's, especially this time of year with all the football games, something about football fans and weight loss medication, John. I don't know, but there's just a lot. We're still learning how to properly use the medication, who really needs it, who can benefit from it. And since these medications are still relatively new to most physicians, we're learning as a profession how to prescribe them and then how to manage them. You know, one of the interesting things, Jen, that we haven't spoken a lot about yet until now is once a person get started on these medications, that's not the end of it. There's dose escalation. The dose typically will go up, and not everybody responds the same to these medications. So the physician, the prescriber, needs to be in close contact with a person who's taking these medicines. And then over time, when that correct dose is determined, monitoring weight loss, potential for other side effects, and is indeed the medication somebody is on the correct medication. So all right. Of these things are being worked out right now, and our treatment protocols are getting better. We're in a way better place now, John, than we were 6 months ago. And as we continue to accumulate the knowledge, we'll be even better at it.
Some of the commercials are promoting people who say they are maintaining their weight loss after they quit taking the drug. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's something we have to learn about, because up until now, we really thought that when we stopped the medication, people would put the weight back on. So again, this has to do with getting more experience with the medication, after the medication. Are people actually changing their lifestyle, their nutrition, their physical activity? There's lots of different aspects of this that's all being worked out right now.
Just a last comment or two from Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the chief medical officer over at Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. What else is walking in the door these days, Doc? Anything else you want to make sure we hear from you today?
But we're just really busy. All the hospitals in the area, John, are very, very busy this time of year. And it has a lot of it has to do with the respiratory viruses that we're talking about. And I know I sound like a broken record, but so many of the people who we need to hospitalize are folks who should have received the vaccinations that they did not. So it's not too late. I mean, there's still flu around. There's going to be influenza around for several more months, not as much as we've had over the last month, but it's still here. So if you have not yet had your influenza vaccine, please get it. I'll say the same thing about the COVID vaccine that's available. If you haven't gotten that, please strongly consider getting it. It'll keep you out of the hospital.
What's the percentage?
Other than that, I think, now that President Trump is in the White House, I think we should go back a little bit to RFK Jr. I've reviewed a lot of his old statements about vaccines, and I really hope that the Senate, the two committees that will be able to ask him questions, ask him how he feels about some of the more extreme anti-vaccine statements he's made in the past. Does he still hold to that? Has he changed his beliefs? Because he has been very, very extreme in his anti-vaccine stance, and that will not be good for our collective health if we were in any way to step away from the vaccine recommendations that we have right now, particularly for kids and older people. I just don't want to see that change. And we need to know where Mr. Kennedy stands on these things.
And you're not just talking about COVID. You're talking about MMR, the whole battery of vaccines.
The whole thing. You know, we've talked before, John, about polio vaccine, which Mr. Kennedy has made some unfortunate comments about in the past. Polio was a horrible, horrible disease that we got under control due to the miracle of vaccination. You know, we don't want that to come back.
His stance on this generally is that he's not going to deny anybody that, but maybe we won't mandate these things. So if you want to get your polio or your COVID or your mumps vaccine, go right ahead, but we're not going to make everybody do it. What's your attitude about that?
That's incorrect. We need, when it comes to pediatric vaccination, it's mandatory to go to school. It needs to remain that way, unless there is an absolute reason why a child does not get pediatric vaccination. The best example of that, John, is measles. Measles is highly, highly contagious, and it can be devastating. And the vaccine works, and the vaccine's been around for decades, and we know the vaccine is safe. Why would we want anybody to get measles and have to deal either with dying or having a very bad experience with a measles infection when we have a safe, effective, and time-tested vaccine? And that means everyone has to get it, because we can't have a large number of unvaccinated kids going around, because that's how other kids then get infected with measles.
Dr. Jeffrey Copens, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Let's talk next week, Doctor. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and everybody stay warm.